winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel in the studio. Remember, it is a 6-hour show on a Sunday, which means the open line is upon us already. We opened the phones nice and early, so why not give us a call and let us know what you're thinking. 01419511025. Rangers fans, what about earlier on? What impressed you? What changes are you starting to see the manager making? How important a win was that for him? And Celtic fans, as this game progresses, or maybe afterwards, you can share your thoughts as well. Let's go back to Celtic Park. Any evidence of any changes, Andrew?
No, the teams, the substitutes, sorry, still out warming up at the moment because there was obviously a bit of a delay in the start of the game and Joe Hart was injured, so there was 4 minutes added on. But all six of Celtic's outfield players are still warming up there, so that's including James Forrest, who the guys were saying was maybe the most likely to come on, and it looks like all of Aberdeen's substitutes are out warming up as well. So it'll be interesting to see what Ange Postecoglou does. As you say, James Forrest, probably the only reason he didn't start today was because he's working his way back from injury, started midweek, probably don't want to give him too much football just in the early stages of his return. But there's not too many options for Celtic on that bench of people that have played a lot of football this season. Albion Ayeti has only really featured from the bench in recent times. Ismail Osoro the same. Mikey Johnston hasn't started at all really since he's come back from his injury, but has showed flashes in the final third when he's had the chance. But it looks as if Celtic fans will need to wait for any changes if they're looking for any.
I mean, Mark, it's difficult. You've been in there, you've been in that environment. I mean, Rangers have won earlier on in the day, and for us, we've constantly got that hanging over us. We're well aware of the consequences, and you know it's a must-win game, and I'm sure the players know it as well. But do you feel a bit detached from it? But ultimately, over the piece, Celtic have been the better team, and there's no need to panic just yet. Or how does it work?
Listen, in the dressing room, it's not like the fans in the stand, you know, who may be concerned and think, oh, this isn't going our way. You get a feel for it in the game when you're on top, how you're playing. And belief in your actual teammates are winning the game. Now Celtic have plenty match winners. You know, they've got Kyogo obviously as their main one, Jota, Abada either side, McGregor and Turnbull, you could see our match winners. What you look for is one of the guys or a couple of the guys to step up in the second half. And I'm pretty sure Ange Postecoglou, they'll be in the dressing room just reiterating that to the players, that they've played well, they've not done anything, you know, extraordinary bad. Aberdeen are back in the game because of a penalty kick, and we're debating if it was a penalty kick. But apart from that, they've played well. It's just in the final third, you know, converting those opportunities when they get to the byline into chances.
What's it like inside the stadium, Andrew? Sometimes you get the odd grumble towards the end of a half if things are level. How's it being received?
We are just back underway. I mean, it's been okay in the stadium so far, but as I say, we are back underway.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Visit their website for their full range of specialist PPE and RPE.
So, no changes for either side at the break. It's as you were, and it's level on the scoreboard. Celtic 1, Aberdeen 1. It was a nice opener from Jota, his 7th goal in Celtic colours, cancelled out by a Lewis Ferguson penalty, which I'm sure we will debate as the week goes on. The open line is here, so pick up the phone and let us know what you're thinking. 01419511025. We'll take your calls right now, all the way through to 6 o'clock. Big 45 coming up, Hugh, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Celtic fans have been looking for an instant reaction here. The longer this game goes on at 1-1, the tension will grow, because a draw is of no use to Celtic. That will mean that they're 6 points behind Rangers rather than 7, so that's not any use to them. So again, I'll be looking to see the final third of the pitch is the most important third of the pitch, because you need to show guile and determination in there. And Celtic, since scoring through Jota after 20 minutes, haven't done very much in that regard.
A huge right in terms of a big 45, because I think we all recognise the progress Celtic have made under Postecoglou in such a short space of time. And they play some exhilarating football sometimes, but you don't win this one, you know, at home to Aberdeen. And you think about Livingston at home, and you think about Dundee United at home, those results quickly, you know, start piling up, and you go, you then start reassessing the progress and go, well, Yeah, it's good to watch, but there needs to be an end product. There needs to be 3 points to stay in the title race. So, yeah, Hugh is right. It's a big half of football.
As much as it's a big half of football, I agree with you. But they won't go and force themselves. They won't be panicking. They're 1-1. They're at Celtic Park. They're still favourites. Of course they are. If they score the next goal, Aberdeen won't get back in the game, because I don't think Aberdeen have got that character in them to come back twice. So they can, for me, they can take their time. I think what's going to be important this afternoon for Postecoglou, and it's well documented, that as it needs time to change, as he looks at his bench, if it's still 1-1, who's my match winner? Who's going to go in there and pull me out a hole and get the 3 points that we need? Forrest, we know, can do it. Mikey Johnson's got a trick. But apart from that, you're looking at a Yeti. They paid big money for him. Is not Hugh's favourite player? Is that a gamble? But he's a centre forward and he can get you a goal. So it'd be interesting to see what the substitutions will be. But I think that Aberdeen will sit in very, very deep. They'll make it very hard for Celtic and hope to hit them with a set play or a counter attack. So it'll be interesting to see how this pans out second half. But no need to panic if you're Celtic just now.
But the tension will rise, Gordon. There's a big crowd in that stadium. The lights are on. Dylan McGeer struggling with injury at the moment. But the longer the game goes on, the crowd will be getting on Celtic's back if they don't see any sign of a second goal.
Yeah, I've been there a few times, Hugh.
Yeah.
You're getting into a second half, under the floodlights, and you're almost willing the ball into the back of the opposition net, and the crowd are giving you the big groans.
Change then for Aberdeen on the back of that. Dean Campbell for Dylan McGeoch. Could they not just have started Dean Campbell and kept the run since the 1940s going of having an academy product in every starting 11?
That's an amazing start. Amazing accomplishment.
And he's on after 48 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so Dean Campbell on for Dylan McGeoch. So a bit of a blow for the former Celtic man.
Just seen Dylan McGeoch there. He doesn't look any different now to when he broke through as a kid at Celtic. He always looked like an old man as a kid.
Well, that's nice of you.
But I'm sure he's delighted with that compliment.
Was it against Aberdeen? He got the ball in his own box and he ran the full length of the pitch and he scored.
That was the day that Celtic scored nine.
Nine, yeah. It was an incredible goal. Mm-hmm.
Mark McGee was the Aberdeen manager. I remember doing the game for Super Scoreboard, and McGeoch ran the length of it, scored this goal, and I remember saying, "A star is born."
Well, he's had a good career.
Yeah. He did very well at Hibs, didn't he? Lots of injuries as well over the piece. Whilst we get that change done and the game recovers from its lull, a bit of comic relief for you. We've still got some more suggestions on this fashion
Our business still going
this,
well?
This business proposition.
Any investors, come on out there.
Wilson DL revealing earlier they're thinking about unleashing a fashion brand. I'm not sure how serious they're being. But very. I do like some of the suggestions that are coming in. Where's the one that just caught my eye?
The lads for Dundee did it, didn't they? They got a fashion business up and running. They're doing pretty well now. So
we're prepared
reason why
to
we
give
can't
up
be.
15% of the business for some.
Willie Shaw says United States of Breakin.
Yeah, nice.
Suggs says stoned and left on an island. Rabbit Slippers says Cobra Clothes by Mark Wilson. What else have we got? Some you can't read out, that's the thing.
Look, if the people out there aren't going to take this serious, don't waste our time.
Some really funny people out there, though. That's what I've come to. And don't get me wrong, some really unfunny people as well, for what it's worth. But we can't, not everybody can be funny, so that's understandable. But it's a good mix. Bob's your uncle says no balance. See what he's done there. Yeah. Okay, happy with that.
It's for you, because you failed the other week in the golf course.
Did. You recovered from that? Just your ego a bit bruised?
Nah, a wee bit sore in the back at times. But nah, listen, everybody has a stumble. I'm quite happy to pick myself up, dust myself down, put my stuff in the washing machine and move on.
Quite right, you're an inspiration to us all. So over 50 minutes gone now, and it's still Celtic 1 Aberdeen 1 again. It's much like the first half. The opening period's not really got going. There was a lengthy delay as Dean Campbell replaced Dylan McGeoch. The ball's just sort of been bobbling around in the midfield area. I think Celtic did force some early corners. Is that one they tried to go down the line for Jota, but it's out of play from McGregor.
Not McCarthy was there, was it?
My apologies.
I do not detect much in the way of ideas from Celtic. The since the goal, I think they've been lax in that department. I don't sense a goal coming for them. I don't sense a goal threat at the moment. And the game is pretty much a war of attrition right now.
I think Aberdeen have got to take a little bit of credit. They're making it very difficult. The gaps aren't there. They're forcing Celtic into slow football. Celtic's a fast footballing side. They like to get it wide. They like to get the wingers on it. They like to get Turnbull, McGregor through the middle, Kyogo running off defenders. Aberdeen, because they're going so deep, they ain't leaving any spaces for that. So Celtic are mostly at the back, and the square passes and back to you, but they've just got to be patient. There's a great run from McGregor and a terrible ball.
Yeah, it was actually really nice down ball the left. But again, you're giving Juranovic a bit of leeway. He's a right back, and that's why swinging those balls in with his left foot, it might end up like that. And I know that
some people make it look easy. Does swinging in with your opposite foot,
but is that part of the problem? Because I know people out there will say, oh, professional footballers should be able to kick with both feet. Of course. But he is a left back, and that's he's a right back, sorry,
yeah,
and
of course
that's the limitation.
Well, that's the balance most teams opt for. You know, a left footer on that side, you put that in, probably a left footer flashes that right across the front, and it's a chance. But there's no doubt playing a right footer or left back just takes a bit of pace and intensity out of your game. You know, you go there, they often have to come inside, check back, you know, check their run. Montgomery's on the bench now. I know he's a more attack minded player, but
you've
he's played there
off.
As well. What's that?
You got to take off for Montgomery.
Wait, no, I'm just saying for a left sider.
I think if he's going to make substitutions, I think it'll be attacking substitutions.
No one's saying that you take Juranovic off because he puts one cross into the stand.
No.
Try listening.
I'm just saying about the other options, you know, because Taylor's not there at the minute. The only other option probably
I think Juranovic has played very well at left back, I've got to say. I think he's one of these guys. He's a very talented footballer. Yes, that cross into the box wasn't his best moment, but I think he's a very, very good defender, good recovery, and I'd love to see him get a perfect kick.
Celtic coming close to going back in front. The corner from Turnbull seemed to evade everyone. People were then queuing up at the edge of the box. Was it McGregor who struck
it? What a strike it
and
is.
It's a sensational block, but at a cost. I think that's hit Ramirez in
the throat.
Which is not something you see too often. So it's half cleared. McGregor lashes it. That's going in, there's no doubt.
Wow.
Well, Ferguson's also there to try and block it, and Ramirez is brave, takes one for the team and keeps it out.
Square in the throat. McGregor catches it beautifully on the half volley. And I know Ferguson's behind Ramirez, but I think that's going in. Yeah. And what a block it is.
On one hand, it's brave from Ramirez. On the other, Hugh, I don't know if he could have got out the way. Even if he wanted to, it came at him very quickly.
Exactly. So he's getting treatment now. He's had quite an eventful afternoon, one way or another.
Okay, don't forget the phone lines are open. We're reflecting on the Rangers game as well. So let's bring in Brian and see how happy or otherwise he was with what he saw in Livingston. Brian?
How are we doing?
Good, thanks. Good.
Right. So I watched the game on television today, and I feel that even though it didn't come out, I think the players knew that Steven Gerrard was going. I would reckon a couple of weeks before he actually went. And I know you can't, contact anybody without the club's permission, but I just feel that Aston Villa had contacted his agent and had made it clear that they were going to sack the manager, and whether Steven Gerrard would be interested in taking the job, which obviously he was. There'd been a real flatness about Rangers for long periods this season. But if you look at this moment in time, we're 6 points clear in the league, unless Celtic going and win today. I feel last week we were rudderless, and we don't want to use that excuse, but that's what the players were like last week. It was just an abomination, performance. And on Thursday, all I've heard is that Sparta Prague were poor. I think Rangers played very well on Thursday and did what they had to do, won the game. and they're now in the Europa League playoff in February, which is really good. Today, I knew that would be a tough game. I was a bit interested about Livingston trying to take the game to Rangers, which you don't normally see. It made a better game than you would normally get in that surface. But I felt Rangers played well today and won the game comfortably.
I must admit, Brian, I just don't know about the theory. I don't know if the time frame stacks up, because Dean Smith gets sacked on the 8th of November, just after Aston Villa lost what I think was their fifth game in a row. Now, if they hadn't lost that, or even if they'd won the one before that, the fourth and fifth game, he wouldn't have been sacked, and that's only a week before. So I don't know how Aston Villa could have identified Steven Gerrard 2 weeks previously or whatever, because if Dean Smith wins on the 31st of October and the 5th of November, he doesn't leave. But anyway, that is just Brian's theory.
There's no point
in arguing about something that we can't prove one way or the other. What about what Brian has said about what he witnessed today and what's happening going forward?
There should be a difference in performance level when a new man comes in, and when a man as experienced as Giovanni Van Bronckhorst comes in, high profile and clearly very good at his job. So there should be an upturn in performance levels. Why Gerrard left is neither here nor there now, because he's gone and a new man and a good man has been appointed straight away. If Rangers had struggled to find a manager, then I'd understand speculation about why Gerrard left. But he's gone now, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is there and has started with a flawless 2-game, 2-win record. And the players need to respond, because they know subconsciously if you're not doing it for them, you'll be left out.
I mean, Brian felt that was rudderless not so long ago, and now it's heading in the right direction.
Well, we had a lot of complaints on the phone and about performances, about players for them from the start of the season, Gordon. But you've got to say that they were still in the semi-final, they were still top of the league, and they were still in Europa League. The new manager's come in. I think it's still early. We've got to give him time to... He's got off to a good start, there's no doubt, and Rangers fans are delighted with what they're seeing. He's tweaked it a little bit. He's still a bit of work to do in the training ground. Of course he has. He even admitted that himself today, saying, look, we need to look at things that we can improve on. He'll be working hard just now. He's not got that time because the games are coming thick and fast. So, I think Rangers fans are quite excited about the appointment going forward. And it'll be interesting to see how slowly over the time, and obviously the big one's got to be his first signing, if he can free up some money and bring in players in January. What type of players are you going to bring? Who's he going to bring into Ibrox? Is it a flair player? What sort of a to fit into his system is he looking for? What position to strengthen? I think he'll still look tonight and be a little bit disappointed with the defence.
Oh, hold that thought. We've got one of these. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Goal Celtic. I think it may have come off Callum McGregor, kicked off of him by an Aberdeen player. Whatever has happened, I don't think the Celtic fans will be too frustrated, because Celtic are back in front. Celtic 2, Aberdeen 1.
Well, if it is a scruffy goal, then the Celtic fans won't care, first and foremost. But it would tend to sum up their second half performance. I thought they were going nowhere. If they do,
Oh my goodness! It is a clearance from the Aberdeen player, which ricochets off Callum McGregor. It's the worst goal they'll ever score, and it might just be an important one. That's the beauty of football. They all count, as you well know, Mark Wilson.
Well, yeah,
I've scuffed a few in your time.
How's your luck there? Well, they all count, don't they? And a bit of fortune there for Celtic. Got to say, just before that, James McCarthy, lovely fake to shoot, lovely reverse ball. And it's a baddest shot that's blocked, but as Johnny Hayes tries to clear it with his right foot, McGregor, brave as a lion there, turns his back and it hits him and goes into the back of the net. So
yeah, because to be fair, Gordon, to not take anything away from Celtic overall, it's calamitous from Aberdeen, and there is that slice of luck, but it's actually a very good chance from Celtic first. Abada should score. It's brilliant from McCarthy, and Abada should score.
Great play. Yeah, you were expecting, as Jamesy Forrest comes on there for Abada, That was his last chance, Gordon. Yeah, you would expect Abada to lift that over Joe Lewis, but good save from the goalkeeper, and they do get a bit of luck. I said at half time, as much as everybody's saying, well, it might be a wee bit pan, there's still another 45. This is an Aberdeen team that, if you look at the record this season, has been very, very poor. And I said that the next goal, we keep saying it's a great free, it's so important. I would never imagine Aberdeen, the character of a goal, will come back into this game.
There may be an entirely innocent explanation, and maybe Brian just thought that we were probably done with him on the phone because Celtic have scored. That wasn't the case, and I was going to go back to Brian. He's disappeared. I've dreamt up a scenario where he's just, the rivalry's kicked in, Celtic have scored, boom, hang up the phone, I'm not interested in them anymore. But either way, he's gone. I was enjoying Brian's input about Rangers bounce, if you call it that, or whatever it is that's happened in the last week.
Interesting. I can understand why Brian might be annoyed that Celtic have scored, because I think James Forrest was getting ready, was in the act of getting his strip on. And I think that was because Ange Postecoglou could sense that things weren't going well, not running up a blind alley too often. And the goal is fortuitous. It doesn't matter. Celtic have been on the wrong end of a bad decision by the referee, I think. And luck has balanced itself out there, because it is a clearance and it's come off the base of Callum McGregor's foot and gone into the net. So it's a very important goal for Celtic. They have to build on it and be secure at the back. Otherwise, it will be a painful day.
I mean, Gordon, Celtic have operated a level of control in the second half. There's no doubt about it. Have they created much clear cut? Maybe not, but this hasn't been a terrible Celtic performance up until this point. Aberdeen have done well.
No, and that's why I was still confident at half time for Celtic that they would eventually, if they kept going the way they were going. Remember, it was a penalty that we're all debating. Apart from that, I don't think Aberdeen's offered a lot. They've camped in, made it difficult. And when you do that, Celtic will probe and Mark's right. He's played a million times there and understands the Celtic fan.
That's about 100, I think. But
you've got to be patient. The fans have got to be patient and realise how the opposition's playing. But I've got to say, I think Abada should score. Credit to Joe Lewis, because let's go give the goalkeeper a bit of credit. But Callum McGregor only puts himself into a position to stop the block and gets a little bit of luck that I think Celtic deserve, to be honest.
Here's one for you. When you're in as an interim manager and you're trying to, Scott Brown, it's not the ending he wanted. It looks like he's done. Looks like he's clutching his hamstring. I can't remember Scott Brown having too many muscle injuries in his time.
He is getting on a bit though, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
36 now.
A standing ovation as he goes off, Scott Brown, clutching the hamstring, and he is being replaced.
And well deserved a standing ovation. First chance the Celtic fans have really had to say a thank you and farewell to him. I'm sure he would have enjoyed his time.
That's a big blow for Aberdeen. Not in the fact that also Brown, but they've lost two good experienced players that know Celtic so well in the middle of the park, an important part of the park. Scott Brown and Dylan McKeogh, two good players. And it's a sad to see Scott Brown limping off.
As you would expect,
he was brilliant for Celtic.
Fairly low key from him, standing ovation, two small claps, and off he goes. No interest in lapping.
I'd have done a lappy on him.
You'd have had the shirt off. You'd have been in tears, and that, I can imagine.
I'd have been still going round that pitch, you know.
As soon as he went to ground, he knew the game was over for him, and he looks crestfallen. This could be Aberdeen's eighth defeat of the season. That's the same number as Ross County, who are bottom of the league. He was either going to go one of two ways at Pittodrie. He was either going to lift them to incredibly good heights, be the inspiration, or time was going to catch up with him. And at the moment, it looks as if time has caught up with him.
He went to the right dugout, though.
Do you know something?
Could have been one of those moments.
Ron Atkinson moment. Yeah.
Oh, that was brilliant, wasn't it? That was brilliant. That's the sort of thing I would do. I've got to say, I'm disappointed with Aberdeen. Not today, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about overall. If you look at the squad they've got, surely they're better than what they're producing.
Samuels is one of the changes. There are two. So Samuels replaces Scott Brown. I can also see Marley Watkins going off. He's going to be replaced as well by Teddy Jenks. So Teddy Jenks coming on and a double change for Aberdeen as Scott Brown gets the old strapping ice pack.
It looks in a bit of discomfort. Bit of discomfort there. Yeah, hamstrings can
hamstrings
be
hard, yeah, one of the worst injuries.
And when you're Scott's age, and it takes a lot of time to get that right and get your rehab right to get back, you just wonder what the drive.
Have you ever done your hamstring?
Yeah,
yeah.
You're joking. This guy's had every injury.
Everything. I'm like a game of operation.
I've only done it once, and I've got
you've
to
been
say,
run enough though.
No, I've done it once, right? And
playing football.
I was playing. I was too quick. That was my fault. I was too quick. I just sprinted too quickly. And it's just this horrible thing. It's like, oh my God.
Been shot in the back of the
oh
leg.
Oh my God. Sitting down is incredible.
As I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by, I think, Scott Brown's injury. Talk about going in as an interim manager. Do you keep your head down? Do you try and put your own stamp on things? Michael Carrick binned Ronaldo to play Chelsea this afternoon.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a statement for you. Take your seat in the bench, Ronnie. Sit next to me.
I like big decisions. I think he'll realise that he's not going to be in charge too long. I think they're going to bring someone in to the end of the season. But I like that. I like that away from home. Unless he's had a chat with Ronaldo, maybe. You don't know. It could be a
bit.
No, you could, Gordon.
Ronaldo's wanting to play that game. Stop it.
Well, I don't know. But if Ronaldo wanted to play that game, I'm sure he would have.
He's dropped him.
Do you think so?
Absolutely.
Well, Shevie has. I admire the lad. Well done to him. I think Solskjaer should have been a bit stronger in the Manchester United dressing room as well, and he might still be in a job. Same with you, Mark. If you'd have been a bit stronger up at Glebe Park.
No. Can he drop some of the Galacticos up there? They were too good.
The Glebe Galacticos. There's a sentence you never thought you would hear, Hugh Evans.
For a club of their size, and they would think of themselves as the biggest football club in the world, Manchester United are a bit of a state right now. You know, the idea of an interim manager, I assume, because they're hoping that Pochettino will leave Paris Saint-Germain, but he's already declared himself, or Leonardo, who's the technical director there, has declared himself that he's not going anywhere. So who do they want now? They're in a state.
Going to be an interesting game, that one, kicking off round about now, actually. Not as interesting as what we've got to serve you. Always Scotland first on this show. Celtic 2, Aberdeen 1, with 20 minutes to go. Don't forget, the open line is here nice and early on a 6-hour Sunday. So if you want to share your thoughts, Rangers fans, it's 0141 951 1025. And Celtic fans, as soon as this game's done, if you can't tear yourself away, pick up the phone in 20 minutes' time and give us all your thoughts, please.
I'm just watching Carter Vickers and Welsh pass the ball between them here, and it just sprung to mind there, Christopher Julien. Has anybody heard any update and where Julien is in his rehab?
Anytime I listen, Ange Postecoglou is always quite reluctant to put an exact time frame on it, which is quite understandable, because people just then hold you to it, Hugh, and then say, what's happened?
He's been out for a year now, Christopher Julien.
Is it 11 months, I think?
It was reported that he was going to be back at the tail end of October.
But Mark, you'll know better than any of us here. How long is it going to take Christopher Julien to get up to speed, to get up to a state of fitness that he himself would be happy with? How long is that going to take?
Oh, of course, it takes a long time. You know, there's match fitness, but before he's at his peak, you know, you're talking months on end at playing at a decent level. So it's a long process, but I just wonder, you know, rumours came out that it would be the end of October, and that would be quite timely for Celtic. But now, of course, we're moving into December next week. Still no sign of him, and he's a big player for Celtic. You know, and young Welsh is decent as he's done for Celtic. He can't play every single game, you know, in the higher level.
Starfelt's coming back, though,
Starfelt,
isn't he?
Of course, but again, Starfelt is not really set the head or light when he came here.
I think he was developing a decent enough partnership, I've got to say.
They were looking more solid.
Yeah, I think he was improving. I do think Julien would make a difference. I was there in that game when he crashed into the post, and you're thinking, oh, it's one of the ones, just a sore one. But, oh, it's been a long, long injury for him. We wish him all the best, and it will be good to see him back on the grass, I've got to say.
But in the meantime, Celtic have to negotiate 20 regulation minutes and whatever Kevin Clancy adds on. They do look to be the dominant side now. The loss of Scott Brown weakens Aberdeen, as did the loss of Dylan McGeoch. So it's up to Celtic to see this game out. Even 2-1, even with a fortuitous second goal, would be enough, bearing in mind that Hearts then come Thursday night and Dundee United thereafter. You don't want any slip-ups.
Tempting fate here for Celtic fans. Aberdeen have offered absolutely nothing, and absolutely nothing. You're 2-1 down away from home. You're getting nothing out of this game, and they're sitting just camped in their own half.
I was going to say it's been an easy. The scoreline's probably a bit false. It's been an easy afternoon for Celtic. You know, apart from that penalty claim, walking strike possibly in the first half, but Hearts has a decent save. They're not committing any bodies forward. Anytime they get possession, there's nowhere to go. Celtic have controlled it, you know, possession. Okay, they've not created a lot of clear cut chances, but it's been pretty simple stuff.
I totally agree, Mark. I can't remember Joe Hart literally being involved in the second half. And as I said, I wonder about Aberdeen, because on paper, with the squad, they should be at least putting up a fight. Celtic are. They don't even need to be at their best today. And I'm with you. If they get out here, the 1-2, I can see Aberdeen maybe in the last 5-10 minutes saying, right, okay, we'll come have a go. I think Celtic have got the quality to go and break them down and score the third. But I can't see anything changing here. It's too easy for Celtic.
You would have said that in the first half, though, would you not?
Yeah, but I don't think they've got the character to come back twice, Gordon. I really don't. I think when the second goal comes in, I think the way Aberdeen are going about their business this season, I think they think, well, that's it. We've already come back once. I don't think they've got it in their locker. Look, they're giving the ball away cheaply. And the reason of that is they're no out ball. There's nobody up the front that's got to make a run in behind Carter Vickers, Welsh, get them up the park, turn the Celtic. It's too easy. Celtic back men are just, they're playing, you know, passes to each other, no pressure on the ball. Celtic and cruise control in this game.
I'm surprised they took Watkins off, unless he was injured, because at least you know he's got running power, bit of strength about him. You've seen the first half, he has a shot a couple of times in the first half. He gets in down the left hand side. He looked our most dangerous player, but he's off the pitch now. And Daz is right, anytime Aberdeen get the ball, there's nothing to hit. They just keep giving it back to Celtic. So another disappointing afternoon for Stephen Glass. I don't think he can even commit after this and say, well, Celtic's goal was fortunate and we were unlucky. I think he'll be disappointed at how his team's actually been in possession and how they've applied themselves.
Who's Stephen Glass?
Yeah,
I think Stephen Glass has got to take a bit of responsibility for it. Surely Aberdeen are sticking to the manager's game plan here.
What, now, giving the ball away every time they've got it?
No, but the way they're not committing bodies. You've got to ask for willing runners. You've got to get people in behind. You've got to get people up the park to get a great
chance for Celtic. An outswinging corner from David Turnbull, header Ralston. By Anthony Ralston, and acrobatically tipped away by Joe Lewis. That was close, Hugh Keevans.
Oh, it's a great save by Joe Lewis.
Is it going over already? Has he reached up that high?
Possibly.
Anyway,
Anthony Ralston can't believe he stopped it. So Gordon's right, Celtic are totally dominant, but there are still 15 minutes to go as somebody goes down.
Kyogo collapsed in a heap there, and now there was an Aberdeen defender behind him. I'm not quite sure what's happened here.
His face, it looks like he's either run in, I don't know, we've not seen it. He's just went down holding his face. But interesting to see this here.
Yeah, it's just lobbed back in by McCarthy. Just certainly not a foul, I don't think, is it?
No, it's not.
McCrory. McCrory just comes over the top and wins the header. Whether he catches Kyogo or not, it's not entirely easy to see. And I think we'll just go on.
Stephen Glass and Ange Postecoglou having a word or two about it. I get the impression that whatever Stephen Glass has said, Ange Postecoglou doesn't agree. But as you say, on we go.
Kyogo's doing a universal sign to let everybody know you've been hit in the face and checking for blood. Yeah. You know, people always look at their hands several times, even though they pat their head, they see the hand, there's no blood, they'll do it again several times.
Good corner practice for David Turnbull today, because I think he's taken both sides, isn't he? Celtic have had 12. I think he's taken every one of them.
He's taken everyone. Maravchik was the other one, eh? He would go one side and whip it in with the other foot. You know, you put in the miles. We used to always say that about Nakamura as well. So when the stats came out on a Monday morning, how far you'd run, Nakamura's stats were always way above everybody else's. And it was only after a few months we thought, I mean, he does work hard and he is everywhere, but how is this so far? Of course, because he's running corner to corner. That's why. Meanwhile, we're all standing waiting for him to whip the ball in.
You were standing on the halfway line.
I was standing just chatting to the other fullback at the time, yeah.
Right, where are we? We're at about the 77th minute, so there is still life on the game if Aberdeen want it. The time is still there, but they've just not offered a great deal. In fact, that's possibly being kind.
I know all of that they've offered next to nothing, and you know, they don't look promising, but Celtic can't just afford to assume that the game is over.
Who's saying they're assuming? You know, you can win games by one goal margins at times. Celtic lost one by a goal margin.
Oh yeah,
the other night.
No, but I'm just saying that Aberdeen have been poor, and they have lost Brown, and they have lost McGeer, and Joe Hart has been a virtual passenger in the second half, but Celtic have to be wary.
The thing I say is, because Hugh, see if you take what 79 minutes of the game, apart from the penalty kick, they've not really offered anything, Aberdeen, for me. You know, they've not tested Joe Hart in any way. Possession wise, Celtic have absolutely dominated this game, and you're right, Gordon, 2-1 is a good result today. 3 points, that's all that matters.
Take Hugh's point, though. It's not in the bag yet.
No, it's not. You've got to concentrate. One mistake, you know, one, like, obviously giving Aberdeen the confidence with the penalty kick, just one mistimed tackle, anything, one set play changes a game. But you're looking at this performance today, and it's not the sparkling Celtic. It doesn't need to be. It's all about picking up the 3 points. And so far they're cruising.
Forget stats of possession or shots on target or whatever. I think in the Chelsea Man U game, someone should do a stat of minutes spent with the camera on Ronaldo's face.
Is he not happy?
I've got it on the other team. It's not that he's not happy, it's just that they're determined to establish whether he's happy, unhappy, or somewhere in between. Because every time the ball goes out of play, it seems the camera goes on his face.
Well, they got lucky with the camera shot of Sir Alex on the day that Liverpool
5,
when they suddenly went onto Sir Alex sitting in the director's box, and he made that look with his eyes rolling and his lips doing whatever they were doing. It just captured the moment of Ollie's in trouble.
He certainly was. And he's paid the price and he's gone, still goalless in that game. Still Celtic 2-1 up, and the phone line's still open. So let's hear from you. 01419511025. Pick up that phone, let us know what is on your mind. Rangers fans, you could probably go first, because Celtic fans might be tuning into the last 10 minutes of their game. What did you make of events at the Tony Macaroni? What stood out for you? Pick up the phone and let us know. And when this game's done, Celtic fans, I'll be expecting lots of you to get in touch, particularly if you've been at the game, or maybe you just sat back and watched it in the warmth of your home. Either way, let us know. Another corner to Celtic.
Do you think, Mark, if Celtic had a stronger bench, more changes would have been made by now?
You know, it's funny, I was just thinking that there. You know, on Thursday night, 72 minutes, Ange Postecoglou decides to make changes. A Yeti on, Mikey Johnson on, a Bad on. You know, you're 79 minutes here, 80 minutes here. James Forrest is on, but you keep Kyogo on, you keep Yota on, and there's a game, you know, just around the corner on Thursday against Hearts as well. So when people are thinking, you know, he's taking them off to keep them fresh and to keep them going,
McCarthy will see the 90.
Yeah, I would play.
No, I think he definitely needs a game, Mark. But you know,
you're not at that stage now, though, where there's only 10 to go, so it's not much of a rest anyway, is it?
Yeah.
You know, you get to 60 and you think if there's a job done, you give people game time. Yeah. 10 minutes left, make any difference either way.
Yeah, but and Mikey Johnson's another one. He can come on and do something for you. I think he's a very good talent. Obviously injuries has hampered him a little bit.
Some of the guys, you know, on the Celtic bench in recent times, you wonder if we're ever going to see them in any games, you know, or we see them very little. You know, Scales, Urigidi, guys like that. Now, I'm not saying they're good enough to go on the team, but they seem just to be filling spots on the bench. That's always dangerous. I always think you should have a bench that brings something. You know, you're on the bench because you can add something, and I'm not sure we're ever going to see some of the players. That's why I think January will be very interesting, for Ange Postecoglou, a first kind of full window, a full cracker at seeing the club and seeing everything that comes behind the scenes, with the right down to the youths, what he needs to bring in.
Would you get the impression that, with regard to Liam Scales, that Ange Postecoglou indifferent towards him, because you would have thought at the back there would be a chance for him to play somewhere, sometime, but never.
Would have thought so. But well, you look at who's in his positions just now, and they're pretty established players. But you're right, Hugh. I would have thought I'd seen him somewhere. Even when you look at Sorrell doesn't get any game time at all, or hardly any anymore. And you think, is he just on the bench because there's a spot on the bench?
I don't think there's any doubt they're jersey fillers just now.
Close for Celtic. Good play by Jota. Gets into the box, but then hits the far post with a low effort. So Celtic almost wrapping it up, but the woodwork comes to the rescue for Aberdeen, and it's his last action because Johnson, Mikey Johnson, is now replacing Jota.
Well, Mikey Johnson, I always say on this show that I like Mikey Johnson. I do. I like him as a player, but he's getting a bit of criticism recently. You know, for when he comes on, he's not quite what he was when he broke into the team. He's just had a real run of bad luck with injuries. I think if he gets himself in top shape, back fit and sharp again, he's certainly a plus for Celtic, and I think he can make a difference in games. But just seeing that Jota
brilliant
effort back, yeah, opens his body up, just curls at bottom corner, inches.
Does Lewis get a touch on that marker? I don't know if he touches on in the post, but it's great play by Celtic. McGregor involved again.
I think he should have scored.
Probably right.
Yeah. But it's a hard angle for him. He's I tell you what, he's,
I think he knows that actually, Hugh. You know his face, he's going off there. I think he's annoyed that he's missed that opportunity. I think you're right.
Yeah, but how can you fault him? You know, 5 goals in 5 games, as Andrew McLean told us at half time. As I said earlier, I can't recall a player on loan at Celtic or anywhere else who's had the impact that Jota has had, and on a consistent level. His consistency of performance is first class.
He's certainly been a crowd pleaser here. You know, he's a wide man, you're looking to create things, but what he's adding to his game, you rightly said there, was goals. So important. He's getting the goals. The last one that made an impact like that for me in the wide areas was Scott Sinclair.
Yeah.
The way he went about his business, I think Jota's been absolutely brilliant.
Kyoko's down again, yeah, holding his face again.
You said he was really brave earlier on.
He keeps putting himself in those positions, brave, but I mean, the level of contact, I'm not too sure on. The replay might suggest otherwise. He may have taken a sore one here, but I'm not too sure.
Takes a sort of hand in the face, doesn't he, as he tries to turn. Yeah, you know what,
take a hand in the face.
There's contact.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's David Bates, the man who won the Aberdeen penalty.
I do think if Ange Postecoglou had any faith whatsoever in a Yeti, that Kyogo would be on the bench right now, getting a rest prior to Thursday and Hearts. But he's such a poor player that they can't bring him on.
I think that's why Kyogo's on the pitch at the minute. What we've just seen there, ball back to Lewis and Kyogo chases it, sprints at Lewis 40 yards. That means Aberdeen, can he build anything, you know, from the back? They can't, you know, get their head up and look forward and start attacks. Kyogo's such an important player for Celtic in terms of defensive, you know, structure, that he forces people into mistakes. Now, if you let Bates or Lewis just look up there, and I believe if a Yeti was on the pitch, a Yeti wouldn't be chasing down like that.
Lewis has the time
to get the ball at his feet and load it onto the Celtic back four. So that's why I think Ange Postecoglou is keeping them on, and it's worked, because Aberdeen haven't really built anything of note in this second half, going the opposite way.
Well, it shows you again that Ange Postecoglou needs a good January window, because players like Ayeti, Bolingoli, Barkas are of absolutely no use to him. So Celtic should be moving heaven and earth to get rid of the three of them in January, and see if it can help fund other players coming in, because Kyogo you know, he's running himself into the ground, but he can't go on running himself into the ground every midweek and Saturdays and Sundays.
Nearly done at Celtic Park, getting to the closing stages. So Celtic fans, gather your thoughts, pick up the phone when it's all done and let us know how you saw it. Rangers fans, you can do it right now if you want. What pleased you about events at the Tony Macaroni? What displeased you? What was somewhere in the middle? What about these tweaks that the new manager is making? It would be nice to hear from you. And it looks like, Gordon, that Celtic will respond after Rangers getting the 3 points.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, Gordon. A little bit of pressure on them at home to Aberdeen, and coming off of Thursday night's disappointing defeat in Germany against a top quality side to make you work a lot more than what you normally do in domestic football. It was a big game for them. And then test of character, 1-1 with Aberdeen after taking the lead and dominating the game. But I just felt a sense that they looked in control of what they were doing this afternoon, and Aberdeen had made it difficult with the amount of bodies they had behind the ball. But I was always confident. Yes, you can look back and say McGregor was a bit lucky. You make your own luck at this game. You can say how bad I should have scored.
Aberdeen coming close. Juranovic off the line.
Set play, Gordon.
We've not seen anything of Aberdeen in an attacking sense, but they did manage a set play, and it was a header, I think, that was eventually cleared off the line by Juranovic.
Well, there's the warning sign. You know, no assumptions can be made. Juranovic has gone from Panenka to lifesaver. That would have been a disaster for Celtic had that gone in. And he's done well. Joe Hart was struggling to get across in time, so Juranovic has done well to get it off the line. But they're not out of the woods yet. More to come.
It's a great header from Ferguson. It's actually behind him. Is it Ferguson? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, turns it wide. Hart maybe getting across, but Juranovic still has to deal with it, and it's a good leap. But he was right. You know, you always have to assume that teams will get another opportunity, but Celtic have dealt with it,
and they really should see this game out now, Gordon. I know everybody likes to see attacking football. If you're Celtic, keep the ball, keep possession, don't commit too many people forward. They nearly got undone with a set play. They get undone with a set play on Thursday night. It's something the manager will look at. Big part of football now. But like, they've deserved their 3 points today. They've been comfortable. Aberdeen, apart from the penalty kick, that header there, terrific header, you've got to say, really, to me, has been poor.
Yes, we're in the closing stages now, just awaiting that board to go up to tell us how much will be added on at the end of the game. Can't imagine too much. Well, we did have Scott Brown's injury, yeah, didn't we? We had a couple in the second half, so ignore me, as you perhaps often do. Aberdeen, I think they just look at the clock, Mark, and that sometimes can galvanise you. You think, oh, hold on, there's only 3 minutes to go, and although we've been outplayed, why not? Why not throw caution to the wind? And this is the most we've seen from them all day, really.
It happens every game, doesn't it, that we watch? You're right, you see the clock, okay, we'll commit more bodies forward, we'll maybe be a wee bit more direct, but quite often it's too late. You know, you think Aberdeen should have maybe thought of this 10 minutes ago, and it's the first time Celtic have really had to defend in this second half. So it'll be a huge frustration for Ange Postecoglou if his side concedes now, when they've had to deal with pretty much nothing going at their goal this second half.
5 minutes added on. Ooh, Celtic Park. Well, still not done.
That's a red flag. You know, it's a long time to maintain your concentration, but Celtic will have to do that, because as I say, a draw would be looked upon pretty much as a disaster by the Celtic supporters.
Well, it would now. Yeah.
Here's a crazy booking coming up
from Mikey Johnson. Kicks the ball away. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think in time added on, you maybe expect these sort of things, don't you? Was he fouled initially? No, what was the? Because he wins it back off.
Well, I think Kevin Clancy What's gave a foul against Mikey Johnson for when he won the ball, which
a strange decision, wasn't
would
it?
Would be an incredible
have I seen
decision.
That incorrectly.
Anyway, it comes to nothing. Celtic chance to break again up the other end and just seal it.
Oh, it's a big chance that Kyogo has had, saved by Joe Lewis. A great counter attack from Celtic, switched wide to Johnson, squared to Kyogo. He gets his front post run right, finishes with the left foot, well saved.
Only thing it was missing was the ball didn't end up in the back of net. I thought the ball was terrific out to the left hand side. Mikey Johnston looks up, he knows where he is. Kyogo's made a great run across the front of the defender, and all credit to Joe Lewis, he's in the right place, stops it with his legs, as a common thing for the goalkeepers nowadays.
It's a bit of an art to it, Mark. Joe Lewis, I think, has got his leg outstretched before Kyogo even finishes. It's that anticipation of knowing that this is what I'm going to have to do, and kind of second guessing where the finish ends up.
Yeah, so I think it's a brilliant save. The way goalkeepers are coached now, I think that came into it. What do you call it? The 5-point save or something?
It's ice hockey
stance. Anyway, Joe Lewis saves it.
It'd be great if they come out with the big pads and all that.
And a stick. That'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
But dude, Matt's right, because you've got to say, the ball in, Kyogo's run's brilliant, he directs it towards goals. All credit to the goalkeeper.
No wonder you scored so many goals, because goalkeepers just used to run out like the star, you know, just wide open, and they had no idea.
No, I just scored goals because I was a natural. That was
Kyogo
down
again.
Oh, no. This game's going on at 6 o'clock tonight.
What's happened this time was the ball. It's the old ball off the dish on a cold day. It's not great, is it?
Take that.
That's not great. Mm-hmm.
Old Mole Master, remember that? Off the face. Winter day, the pimples.
But fair play to him. Look at him chasing Joe Lewis.
Incredible. Now, you were saying, Hugh, about him burned out, and you might be right later on, but to still be doing that, 93 minutes on the clock after Thursday night, it just shows the level of fitness the boy's got. You know, incredibly fit to lead the line like he does for Celtic.
I still say, if there was greater strength in the bench, he'd be off by now, getting a well-earned rest prior to the game against Hearts, and then Dundee United to follow. But there's no strength on the bench.
Halfway through that 5 minutes added on. It's a late one, this. It's going to be 5 o'clock by the time we're done. A Yeti is now coming on for Kyogo, Hugh.
Rest, have a rest. There we go. It's like before earlier. What are you saying to a Yeti on the bench?
Benidorm is back.
Go on and make a name for yourself.
Yeah, go on. It's there for you.
Prove that Keevan's wrong.
I think this is one topic where most people agree with me.
A Yeti.
He's got nothing to offer.
I mean, Christopher as well, saying Celtic are limited in numbers, but why not give Ralston 90 minutes off? He's played a lot of football. Switch Juranovic to his position naturally and
Montgomery.
Bring Montgomery in, win at home. But anyway,
Ange knows best. And he's certainly getting the result today. That is, you know, what is it, a minute left in the clock you're bringing on a Yeti?
Ange Postecoglou is in a horrible position, because the fans love him. They buy into everything he says and does, but it will all turn very quickly if results don't go your way, because we in Scotland are a results people. It's all about that. There's no time to think about the bigger picture, the longer term. If Ange Postecoglou had lost this game today, the phone lines would have been very active.
Hugh, I sort of disagree with you. I think the man's bought itself enough time. I think if you're a Celtic supporter, you've looked and thought, what kind of job has this guy walked into? Really difficult, of course. He's not had a lot of time. He needs another transfer window. We're all talking about the bench. We've recognised the weaknesses. So as much as, it'd be disappointing for Celtic, I think the Celtic fans have bought into this guy, and they're got to give him as much time as needed.
Yeah, I mean, it's possibly unwise to dedicate too much time to thinking about what would have happened if Celtic hadn't won today, when they are about to win today. So we're in the last minute. Celtic 2 Aberdeen 1. Open line here, pick up the phone, let us know what's on your mind. If you are interested down the road, it's Chelsea 0 Man United 0. It is full time at Celtic Park. Andrew McLean.
Celtic 2 Aberdeen 1, the full time score here. Callum McGregor grabbing the winner for Ange Postecoglou's team. The home side, they had a bright start, they pinned Aberdeen back, they were using their width well, and it felt as if a goal was coming, and it came 20 minutes in. David Turnbull played a great ball through into the box for Callum McGregor. He cut it back to Jota, who was in a good position, and his powerful strike beat Joe Lewis, his fifth goal in his last five Celtic games. Aberdeen hadn't really ventured forward much until Marley Watkins forced Joe Hart into a good save from the resulting corner. David Bates went down under the challenge of Leila Bada. Kevin Clancy pointed to the spot despite it not looking like there was too much in it. Lewis Ferguson stepped up to take, and he sent Joe Hart the wrong way to level things up. After the break, Celtic started to threaten once again. Almost a goal when a great strike by Callum McGregor from the edge of the box looked to be going in. Christian Ramirez was on the line and the ball looked to hit him on the throat before being cleared. They had a couple more chances before they got that goal to put them in front again after the hour mark. It was a huge stroke of luck as well. Abada with a shot saved by Joe Lewis. Johnny Hayes tried to clear the ball out of the box. It ricocheted off Callum McGregor and bounced into the back of the net. Certainly not one of his best goals in a Celtic shirt, but he won't mind at all. After that, Jota tried to put the game to bed with some good play down the left. He cut in. His shot came off the post. Aberdeen nearly grabbed a late equaliser, though. Josip Juranovic, the hero, as he cleared Lewis Ferguson's header off the line. And Kyogo with a late effort that was saved by Joe Lewis, with Celtic seeing the game out after that. The gap at the top of the table remains 4 points after today's action. The full-time score at Celtic Park, Celtic 2, Aberdeen 1.
Wins for Celtic and for Rangers. It's as you were at the top of the table. Pick up the phone and talk to us, 0141 951 1025. You've seen both games. What did you make of them? We'll speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel are here until 6 o'clock, ready to take calls from you and find out what you made of today's football. It finished Livingston 1, Rangers 3 in the early game through there at the Tony Macaroni. Then it was over to Celtic and they beat Aberdeen by 2-1 at home. Sum it up, Hugh Keevans.
Well, Rangers' performance was convincing. Livingston flattered to deceive, I thought, and Rangers in the end ran out comprehensive winners. Celtic, after they had scored through Jota, again looked as if they were enjoying themselves, but then a controversial penalty for me, for Mark and for Gordon allowed Lewis Ferguson to make it 1-1. Second half, I thought it was all Celtic, without being particularly inspired, and the goal summed up the second half performance, because it's an attempted clearance by Johnny Hayes. It strikes the base of Callum McGregor's foot. He's only attempting to block the ball, but it ends up behind Joe Lewis, and that is the winning goal. Doesn't matter to Ange Postecoglou or the Celtic fans. It means that they go back to where they were, 4 points behind Rangers. And now a very interesting midweek. Rangers at Easter Road, Hearts go to Celtic Park. Very interesting.
I thought the games were actually very similar, that, you know, both went in front, Celtic and Rangers. Aberdeen and Livy made a bit of a game of it in the first half, but the second halves, you know, both Livy and Aberdeen didn't lay a glove, I don't think, on Celtic or Rangers. And I think it was pretty simple. Even though the Celtic scoreline's only 2-1 and they got fortuitous with the goal, I thought they could have had more. You know, they had certainly more chances. Kyogo could have made it a wee bit more comfortable at the end. McGregor shot, you know, blocked almost on the line. So I think, you know, Ange Postecoglou, yes, he may have wanted him to play better, but I think it was a comfortable afternoon for both Celtic and Rangers.
I think after a Thursday night in Europe, it's all about the Sunday getting 3 points, Gordon. If you can get a good performance, great. I thought both teams looked comfortable. Yes, the lost goals that you can argue about. But as much as Celtic weren't their sharpest, I said at the beginning, I thought it'd be 2-1, I thought it'd be tight. But it was a comfortable 2-1. Apart from a set play at the end, Aberdeen really never threatened. Celtic dominated most of the game. I was very impressed with a lot of stuff Rangers done this afternoon as well, because you know how hard it is to go to Livingston. So for Rangers and Celtic, job done, both managers pleased, another 3 points on the board.
0141 951 1025. For the immediate reaction, well, that's over to you, Celtic fans. Maybe you're just coming out of the stadium at the moment, getting back into the car or whatever it may be. Maybe you watched it at home. Pick up the phone and let us know. Was it just a case of job done, 3 points? What did you make of the performance? It's another goal from Jota. Do you want to wax lyrical about him again? What about the penalty Aberdeen got? Did you feel hard done by or not on that one? It's just some of the talking points for you. And Rangers fans, the first win of the Giovanni Van Bronckhorst League era, 3-1 at Livingston. What did you make of that? What tweaks did we see? We keep hearing that he's changed one or two things. What did you notice? What players stood out for you? What about the quality of the two goals to get Rangers up and running this afternoon? I'm sure there were some people who didn't like a couple of moments at the back, but other than that, a fairly comfortable afternoon. But whatever is on your mind, now is the time to share it. 0141 951 1025 on the phones or at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's hear a bit from David Martindale, actually. We've not played this yet. His thoughts on the game. And interestingly enough, his thoughts on the throwing of snowballs that got the start of the second half delayed.
When the snowballs thrown with the dough balls, I don't understand. I maybe see the frustration if your team's getting beat, maybe, and there's a bit of frustration there. I don't understand that still, but I could see it. But when your team's winning 2-1 to hold up the second half, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. Like, I just think it's a little bit of a blight in Scottish football. It's on telly, it's on national telly. Like, come on, screwing up a wee bit. And I know the majority of Rangers fans, weren't throwing snowballs. So, it doesn't look good for anybody, does it? It doesn't look good for the Rangers, it doesn't look good for Livingston, it doesn't look good for Scottish football. Could have been back to, what is it, Liverpool in the beach ball morning, different, but you get the analogy there. I think it might have played a part in the third goal, we hope he slipped. Nah, fair play to Rangers. They came here overall deserved the 3 points, but I think it was large majority of the game, whereas I think they knew they were in a game, probably 2-0. They probably think they're going to coast the game. We gave ourselves back in the game fantastically well, and I think Alan McGregor, I've watched it back, probably Alan should do a little bit better, but he gets contact in the ball, but it's a fantastic save for Alan McGregor. But it's a different game coming out of the second half, and for 20 minutes of the second half I thought we competed fairly well, had a few very good moments on the counter ourselves and just couldn't capitalise on them, and then when the third goal goes in I think it's game over.
He's always good for a soundbite. Snowballs thrown by the dough balls. We probably need to find a balance, Hugh, between agreeing in the sense that, I mean, obviously it didn't look good, it was a bit of a pain for everyone, not really sure why you would do it. Not sure how long we really spend getting hung up on snowballs either, though.
No, I tend to agree with most of what David Martindale said, however. But it's Rangers fans disrupting Rangers. David rightly pointed out, it's a tiny, tiny minority. However, have a think about it. You're upsetting the momentum of your own team. And I do maintain, they're throwing him at the Livingston goalkeeper. He's not there to be a target.
I did like, it'd be good if he'd committed to Gordon straight face and said, yeah, that cost us. Oh, Jason Holt slipped.
Brilliant.
He said, I'm only kidding on.
He's box office. He speaks from the heart. He's a very honest manager. He came out there and he's really telling you that, look, we gave it everything we had. Rangers were a better side, deserved to win. I like him. I like the way he goes about his business, but I just thought the Rangers had too much in their locker today for him.
Let's hear you then. 0141 951 1025. David's a Rangers fan. What did you take away from today, David?
I thought actually played not bad today.
Yeah,
but it was just obviously thinking about corner goals and it fought against the goal.
Yeah, okay. That's like an interesting place to start. Let's start with kind of both, because you've said you played not bad and then corner goals. So let's do the positives first. How pleasing was it to get, you know, Giovanni van Bronckhorst up and running in the league?
Up and running, right, especially after Thursday night as well. It's important they got a 3 points today, and we did.
Yeah, it was, Hugh, because everyone's identified. We always do this. We take games in chunks, and people, I did it myself when we were reporting on the managerial change. Oh, but look at the schedule he's got. He's got make or break in Europa League. He's got Livy away. Well, so far he's won them both.
Yeah, and that is flawless. I think he'll be very keen to influence the game against Hibs on Wednesday night, because he couldn't influence the game against Hibs at Hampden. He wasn't allowed to go to the dressing room. There was nothing at all he could do while Rangers were falling apart against a team who had lost their 4 previous matches. So I think he'd be very happy to be able to influence what happens at Easter Road on Wednesday night, and he'd be going for revenge, and so that he can maintain his flawless record.
What differences have you noticed, if any, David, about Stephen Gerrard's team and the new manager's team? Still with us, David? Looks like he's there. I think we'll try and get him back. Yeah, Gordon, just to win the game ultimately, and it was maybe more comfortable than people expected.
Yeah, I thought Rangers started the game really, really well, Gordon. All credit to Livingston, they get back in it. Basically, for me, should have been 2-2 because I think Forrest should score. Mm-hmm. But let's all say that McGregor is there to make that save, and it's top drawer. But second half, Rangers controlled the game. I like the change of formation. I like the 4-2-3-1. I think it suits a lot of the players. It allows Aribo to make those runs. Arfield today, I thought, was absolutely outstanding. He just made run after run after run. It causes so much problems.
We'll try again. David, what differences have you noticed between Steven Gerrard's team and the new manager's team?
Seem to be more attacking on the wings. Ryan Kent and Hadji.
Yeah, is that something you've noticed, Mark Wilson?
More than Steven Gerrard. Well, probably they keep their width, yeah, a wee bit more. I think Hadji and Kent under Steven Gerrard came into those kind of inside pockets and try to find positions there to get the ball and turn and drive it at defenders. But I think today you could see that Kent in particular held his width in the first half a lot, and that's where the second goal actually comes from, that big switch of play, and it finds him out wide and turn goes to Morelos and then Aribo. So yeah, I suppose so. But the big difference is so visible today that midfield runners, and Arfield in particular, any time the ball gets shifted out to Tavernier, Arfield had no other thought in his mind but just to take off. Morelos dropped in, and it gives a back four a problem. Does the centre half go with Morelos? Does he track Arfield? And you could see Livy at that first goal didn't know what to do. And difference then, you know, leads to giving up chances. Fair play Arfield, he took it.
I think that is a big change, because Mark's right there about the runs. The two wide men went wider. Now, under Steven Gerrard, Kent and Hadji played in as two what are called false number 10s, which didn't allow the space for Arfield and Aribo to make their runs. While they're occupying people in the wide areas, Morelos comes short. All of a sudden there are gaps all over the place, and it allows his midfield runners. And I think that's the difference. Whereas under Steven Gerrard, he used to like Kent in, we had you in, and the width came from the fullbacks. But I think he's tweaked that. I like the 4-2-3-1. I think the players are buying into it. But as the Rangers manager said, still a bit of improvement, and he's got a bit of work to do.
Yeah, David, what room for improvement did you see then?
The defence. The defender from Conor Goldson.
Just on the goal in particular?
On the goal. Basically, that's a bed and butter ball just to clear the ball. They missed it.
Yeah, Mark Wilson, you were actually being quite kind to Conor Goldson. I saw lots of criticism for his part in the Livy goal, but you're giving him a bit of a let off.
I've been critical of Goldson all season because I do think he's been much poorer than he was. I think last season he was excellent. You know, a real rock at the heart of that Rangers defence, and he was quite rightly in the running for Player of the Year. But this season he's been a totally different player. I think he's made a number of mistakes. But today, I just admire the quality of the pass. You know, a drilled pass like that. Now, I know it's came a long way, but he's dropped it over Goldson's head on Forrest's toe. The touch has to be good. I would be more inclined to have a go at Bassey. I think Bassey has to be more active when that comes off McGregor. So, look, people are picking in Goldson, but it's a tough school.
You're a bit more critical than Mark.
I'm not agreeing with my business partner to my right here.
I feel,
I'm taking nothing away from the ball. He knows what he's trying to do with it, but the distance that ball's travelling, and I just think your centre half with the experience that Goldson's got, he should be clearing that, Gordon. I think if Mark was honest and he was a manager and that happened to his back, I don't think he'd be applauding the pass. I think he'd be looking his centre back. I think if you play in a top standard with Rangers as a centre half, that ball's coming a long, long way. You've got to deal with it. But where I do agree with him is I think Bassey is caught short.
To be fair to fans like David, this is not about us or anyone else overanalyzing the one goal that you lost in a 3-1 win, because today it was pretty much job done and it was comfortable. This is just about people looking at, okay, what's next? What does the new manager have to improve? What's been really lacking this season? What areas need tidied up? So this is about a bigger picture, isn't it, than just today?
Yeah, of course. There's no doubt about it. The Rangers back four hasn't been at anywhere near the standard they were last year. And I keep saying it, if you set standards as high as Rangers did last year, then fans will expect you to keep those standards this year. You know, they expect when the crowd are there actually watching them in the stadium for the standards to be up there again, and they're way off it.
Although Hugh, if you're looking for positives, you don't need to look too far. The quality of, well, all three Rangers goals in a way, but particularly the first two.
Yeah, Arfield, terrific run, great presence of mind to put the ball over the goalkeeper's head. The strike from Juaribo is just a thing of beauty. I just have one observation to make with regard to corner goals, and I think people now are quick to criticise him because of what he said, not because of what he's done. I think because
to be fair,
said,
he's been getting a bit of stick all season. Maybe because of the contract, you could argue that's coming into people's thoughts. But he only made those comments a week ago.
I know, but therefore this is the immediate reaction to that, because he said, the game was done at half time, and you know, Rangers fans have been offended by that somebody wearing their shirt should say such a thing at half time. So yeah, I do agree he has not had the season or anything like it that he had last season. But sometimes you become an instant whipping boy because of something you said.
But I get that. I get Rangers fans will be in his back with that. But I'm with Gordon this one. I think a lot of people were giving him stick because of his performances and some of the errors that he's made in games. Some that actually don't lead to goals, but you know, could be punished. And you just see a slackness. And it was there a couple of seasons ago, and he sorted it last season. He was terrific, but it's crept back
but
in
do you
this
not
season.
Think they've got to get a little bit of credit? I thought second half the two centre backs looked, you know, as sure as they probably could. Livingston offered nothing in the second half, and I think that's down to good defending. So sometimes you've got to look at that. I know what Hugh's saying. I gave Golson's criticism for a long ball. It's not because he signed a contract, no signed a contract, or what he said. I thought it was bad defending.
On the positive side going forward, did the first goal in particular, does that encapsulate the tweaks that people feel they've seen from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and how things look different?
100% Gordon, because they've obviously worked on the two wide guys occupying the wider, the fullbacks. Morelos makes a nice run and opens that gap up, and I keep going back to it. Usually under Steven Gerrard, and this is not a criticism, right? It's not, it's just a different style of play. Arfield would have just probably dropped a couple of yards and taken that ball and tried to open his body up and play it to the wide areas. If you watch Arfield, the minute that ball goes to Tavernier, he's on his bike. Now, that was something that wasn't happening under Steven Gerrard. You've seen Aribo as well. When Golson got the ball, the first thing he done was forward run into that area where the space is, where Kent now is wider, Hadji is a bit wider.
David, it was nice to speak to you. 01419511025. Do you agree or disagree with what you're hearing about the Rangers' performance? And Celtic fans, that'll be you. No excuses now. You'll be getting back into the car or on the bus or on the train or whatever it is, or you've got the feet up after watching the game. What did you make of it? Was it all about those 3 points? What did you like or dislike about the performance? Any complaints about the penalty? You can see read 01419511025.
The games are over. The talking begins. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans all here, still taking your calls between now and 6 o'clock as we reflect on another big day at the top of the Scottish Premiership. It's still a 4 point gap for Rangers. They won early on to stretch their lead. Of course, Hearts were occupying second place after their victory yesterday, but Celtic struck back in the later game, beating Aberdeen to make it As You Were. If you're interested in the game between Chelsea and Man United, it's goalless at half time. It's been an absolute battering, really, towards David De Gea's goal, but still goalless in that one. Just if that's the sort of thing that interests you. We are on the phones, we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we'll start getting the manager reaction as well. Going to hear from Ange Postecoglou very soon. Will he just be happy with the 3 points, Mark Wilson?
Well, I think so. I think, like we say, when Rangers go ahead at the 12 o'clock kickoff and get the job done, Ange Postecoglou is acutely aware of what he has to do. You know, and first and foremost, getting the 3 points. I know he says he wants his team to play in the right way, in the right manner. He can't do that across a full season. So after European night Thursday, against a very good side. 3 points, most important
thing. I think he'll be happy with the performance as well, Gordon. He dominated the game. You know, take away the penalty kick in the last couple of minutes with the set play. Celtic dominated that game. Yeah, they didn't score 3, 4, 5 goals. It was a good professional performance. I think he'll be delighted with the 3 points, and I think he will be happy with the performance of his players.
Yep, it's easy for Ange Postecoglou to look back on it with a lot of satisfaction. He's had a busy week. He's had that game against Bayer Leverkusen, the disappointment of it. It hasn't lingered. Come back, understood the importance of the occasion, honoured the memory of Bertie Auld, and won the match.
Yeah, I mean, like Dad says, I agree with him. I think the way Celtic controlled the ball, I think that was important today in terms of possession, that they kept the ball. They didn't allow Aberdeen to mount too many attacks, and I think that's the reason why Kyogo stays on the pitch for so long. Not only is he a threat, and a goal scoring threat at that, and a very good one, but he is your first line of defence, and having him hassling the Aberdeen backline didn't allow Aberdeen to build any sustained periods of pressure. It allowed Celtic to control the ball, and it worked out fine for him.
Okay, let's speak to David, who is a Celtic fan, first up on the lines tonight. David, what did you make of today? Happy with that?
Of course, yep. Vital 3 points. I'd like to thank the Rangers supporter on the phone in earlier, who said there were 6 points clear. I think the goal flash came within a few seconds his comments. So that was pretty good. But look, it was one of those games. It was like the Celtic just needed to win. They controlled the game, but the goal was a bit fortuitous. But you know what I mean? The win's the most important
Absolutely.
Thing, considering Rangers won earlier.
That man Jota, David, keeps producing. I think that's 7 goals already, and particularly the recent run is even more impressive. What have you made of him?
Well, he's bums off seat, sort of a player. The quicker that Celtic can try and get him tied down, the better. Wouldn't mind his eyebrows as well.
it's not the turn I expected that call to take. I must admit, they are quite something. Hugh, we talk about numbers in football, you know, and for wingers who notoriously are inconsistent, even at the top level, he's productive. You know, he's got the tricks if need be. We saw the Rabona cross last week, and he gives defenders a tough time, but he's productive, and that's the most important thing.
You know, as I say, I cannot recall a lone player coming and having this effect on a team. When Scott Sinclair came, he was a signed Celtic player, and he kicked on right away. But I take David's point on the phone. The Celtic fans want this matter to be tied up. Signed, sealed, delivered. They don't want Jota to slip through Celtic's fingers.
Nearly had another Gordon. He hit the post was there another chance?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Gordon. Usually with a winger, you get one or two things with them. You get the creator, but doesn't chip in with the goals. You get the guy that maybe get the goals, but doesn't create enough for the centre forwards. This guy's got everything in his locker. You know, he's hit the ground running at Celtic Park. It looks like he's been there for a long time. The fans love him. He loves entertaining the fans. I like watching him. You're right, today he was unlucky. He hit one off the post as well. Gets another finish. Scoring goals. Everything's going brilliantly well for him.
Mark, it's actually 8. It's not 7. So it's 8 goals in 17 appearances. Even my arithmetic can handle that. That's pretty much 1 in 2, which is widely regarded as a good rate for a striker. Never mind a young winger coming to a new country, etc.
He's brilliant, he really is. And I think you can see that the actual Celtic players realise that as well. If you had to analyse Celtic's last half a dozen games, and you know, they do these heat maps where the ball goes, you quite often see the ball going out to Jota, and we're criticising Abada for not getting involved, but the Celtic players know he's going to do something. You give him the ball, he will create. You know, he will run off the ball, he'll get into goal scoring positions, and he will win you games. And that's what he was brought to the club for. The closest thing I can remember is Patrick Robertson in a few years gone by, where he came and made such an impact as well. But Jota has got the goal scoring to add to the creativity. And you know, it's a great thing. Whoever's done this deal has put this option in, that it's the ball's in Celtic's court. Now, unless something unbelievably bad happens from now until January or now until summer, then I think we can all agree that Celtic will take
that
option.
See the advantage that you're okay, you're saying the Bowles and Celtic. The player's got to be happy as well, Mark, right?
I think he looks happy.
That's the words I was going to say. He looks like he loves the place. He looks like he loves the supporters. He looks like he loves Scottish football. Looks like he loves Scottish weather. And I love his eyebrows. So I hope he stays as well.
David, the only other real notable inclusion in the team was James McCarthy. We've not seen him from the start very often. Did you see enough of him to decide either way whether that's something you want to persist with or not?
Going to come good. I think that's inevitable. He's got these touches, just his class sometimes. His little slide rule pass. He's just got to take time with him. Obviously, he's came to his boyhood club after a long time. He's a lot of our wee country's football might not be at the quality that down south. It's a different tempo, I think, that he's maybe been used to. So I think given time, he'll be a vital player for Celtic moving in, over, especially over this period where we've got 10 games now in 4.5 weeks.
Yeah, he had his moments, Mark. He played a big part in creating the McGregor goal. Was that move where he faked one way, hit the reverse pass?
Yeah.
Still more to be done though?
I think so. And there's no doubt he's a good player, and he's had a terrific career. Very composed on the ball, good passer, you know, great experience behind him. So he seems like he's someone that would fit the mould of what Celtic need in that position. And coming in when he was signed, I was thinking that's exactly, you know, what Celtic needs. Someone with huge experience, international experience as well. But it's not quite worked out for him the way he wanted. Injuries, lack of form. But today I thought he kept things simple. And that little involvement in the goal, where he does faint and that little reverse pass, shows you the quality he's got. So I think there's more to come. And he might just play a big part in Postecoglou's thinking going forward.
Yeah, he'll feel good about yourself tonight, Gordon, getting that 90 plus minutes under his belt. It's so important. We said at the beginning of the game, the talk was he needs to go up to speed. The only way you go up to speed as a footballer, you can train all you want, you need to be in competitive games. He went in today, they dominated the game. I agree. I thought that his bit of skill for setting up a badder that led to McGregor's goal was brilliant. That's what McCarthy's about. He's got good vision. He's got good ability. I think he will be a good signing for Celtic once he starts getting a game after a game after a game, because I do think he fits into Celtic's style. And Postecoglou obviously has got a lot of faith in him, because he could easily went with someone else today in the middle of the park, made the excuse that he wasn't ready, but he threw him into a big game.
Anything else on your mind, David, before we part ways?
I just think the way other teams are setting up against us is a big compliment to the way Celtic are playing just now. If you look at David Martindale's Livingston, twice they've played us, twice it's been an extreme low block, forcing us to it's so hard to play against a lot of the time. Yet, across the city, you know what I mean, the Rangers won the league by a landslide last season. They've got into Europa League qualifying, which we didn't. They're top of the league yet. There was none of that today. You know what I mean? It's trying to attack them. So, you know, I think if Celtic continue the way we're going, other teams are going to sit back. I think in the long run, I said that's going to be good for us.
Mark, Gordon, not to unpick that. I mean, I think teams do sit in against Rangers as well, don't they? I get the point.
Yeah.
I get the automatic comparison from the last game that Livy played, but against Celtic, but that was at Celtic Park. So whether they felt a bit braver at home, I don't know.
There's a bit of respect. I think if you go toe to toe with Celtic just now or Rangers, that leaves a gap. You've seen Livingston today. It was a little change of tactic. Livingston were throwing men forward, trying to go toe-to-toe with Rangers, and after a while, Rangers just, they left Rangers too much space. It's the same with Celtic. Even at 2-1, I'm looking at Aberdeen, and all they're hoping for, and they nearly got it, was that set play when, obviously, Juranovic headed it off the line. They're looking just to sneak a goal. That's respect, because they know if they push men forward, with the pace at Celtic got and the players that they've got and the capability, especially at Celtic Park, the way they play, they'll cut them open.
I mean, Mark, we did comment on it, and Livy were a bit more open at the start, but they barely had the ball in the second half, so it sort of it petered out a bit, didn't it?
I did. I think they did give it a go. You could clearly see what they were trying to get at, and they got joy. You know, the tactic that David Martindale employed. They got joy because they got a goal, but you know, yeah, it did peter out. If a team keeps the ball and keeps possession, there's very little you can do. I think Livy did revert to trying to put two banks in front of Rangers, but they eventually wore them down. Of course, it was a set piece that got the third goal, but like these teams are always going to try their best to make it difficult. And we get both sides of the coin, because people, the call before the Livingston went to Celtic Park, they should come out and attack and try and open up, and then people are saying, well, they should have been more defensive against Rangers today. You know, I mean, David that, Martindale.
It's funny how that works, you in our little twisted footballing city.
When it went 2-0 Rangers, I thought it's inevitable that we are going to get callers to say it wouldn't play like that against us. And you know, David on the line has obliged. Celtic have to take care of themselves and not overly concern themselves with how the team opposite them line up.
Thank you, David. We're about to hear from Ange Postecoglou very soon. Stay tuned for that. I said that that game down the road, Chelsea have battered Man United. I think it was 10 attempts to 1 in the first half, and Man United have just scored. Jadon Sancho, a massive
mistake,
punt up the pitch. It's Jorginho of all people. I mean, the guy's barely put a foot wrong in a long time. He gives it away, and United race forward. Sancho scores. This has been a robbery. Michael Carrick won't care.
See if he doesn't score here, he is taking a rollicking.
Because Rashford's alongside him.
Yeah. Rashford's saying, just lay on the plate to me. I think the goalie's thinking it's going there. Oh, what a steal that
what,
is.
What did I tell you? The importance of fullbacks on the halfway line at set pieces. You know, you have to be switched on.
So hold on. So you would have controlled that ball better than Jorginho can?
Oh, 100%. I never gave away a goal like that. So there you go. We all had our parts to play.
It was quite comical, I must admit. Stephen Glass, his stuff is starting to make its way to us as well. Want to hear from Ange Postecoglou for the first time, speaking about the game in general, the second goal in particular, the defence. He covers a number of topics here.
Really pleased because, especially after Thursday night, the players, you know, put in a lot physically, emotionally. We were disappointed with the outcome, and you know, a couple of days later we knew we'd have to pick it up, and I thought our energy was really good at the start of the game, and we really put some pressure on. We scored our goal. You know, they got the penalty, which brought them into the game a little bit. But then second half, I just thought we went to another level in terms of just our energy, our relentlessness to chase balls down. And it's really important because I know how difficult that is to do physically and mentally after a big night midweek. And really pleased that the players got the rewards. This one was particularly difficult because when you play away in Europe, you know, we didn't get back to the early hours of Friday. Players didn't get a decent night's sleep, and then yesterday training, it was just virtually getting them out there for a bit of a jog, and they got it back up again. And you know, we knew Aberdeen would work hard. They're a hard-working team. They're well organised defensively, and we'd have to bring the energy today. And it's easy for me to say that, but that was our challenge. And the fact that they did it today was pleasing. You put yourself in those situations often enough, then they cleared a couple off the line. We hit the pace. Is that unlucky? I don't know. So at the end, I think it was deserved. We're relentless defensively. You know, we work hard from Kyogo at the front, the boys at the back, midfield. We work hard, and I think getting rewards that way, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Is that a fair point, Hugh? In certain instances, you earn your luck. Yes, of course, it's calamitous. It's cleared off Callum McGregor. He literally blocks a clearance and it goes into the back of the net. However, it initially is a good move from Celtic. Abada should score. And then you have to be in those areas to force those instances.
I thought his assessment was 100% accurate. They were emotionally and physically drained in Leverkusen on Thursday night because of the way the game ended there. They had played bravely against Bayer Leverkusen. We've come back. They had to pay tribute to Bertie Auld by attending his funeral. That meant that very little sleep would have been had. And they've only had yesterday, and as Ange Postecoglou said, basically just jogging. So there was a lot at stake today. They've dominated the match. The goal is far from a classic, but leagues are influenced by goals that are hardly classic. So I think that emotionally, physically, They've done their jobs properly today.
Come on then, still time. What have you made of today's football? Pick up the phone, right? It's a great time to call, actually. If you call now, you could be up next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
On the home straight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the three guys, the three... Well, I can't do it. I was going to say wise men. I just can't bring myself to do it. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel are here to take your calls. We've heard a bit from Ange Postecoglou, more to come. Some stuff from Stephen Glass as well. Let's do Paul in Kirkintilloch. Paul, what did you take away from today?
Hi Gordon, hi boys.
Hello.
Just really pleased with the victory. Ending after a European night on Thursday, where I think, like Andrew's spot on, it would have been draining, and everything that's going around the club now, passing about the old and stuff. So I think that nobody can say they didn't deserve it. But
do you know what, let's pause there, Paul, and you can absolutely elaborate on your point. It's just when you mention Bertie Auld, it feels like a good time to play this clip, a nice clip from the Celtic manager on that very topic.
It's been an important 10 days for this football club because it was right, you know, his family obviously gone through a tough time, and it was right. We honoured him in the right way, and I think our performance in the semi-final, disappointing Thursday, but I still think in Europe we played in a manner that he would have been proud of to see us play that way, and capped it off today. It was a beautiful service on Friday, and you know, it's great for the players to see you know, how this club treats its greats.
There we go. Just thought you might like to hear that, Hugh.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou, very respectful, and clearly understands the special relationship that Bertie Auld had with the Celtic supporters. As I say, for me there are two categories: truly great players and great players who touch people's lives. Bertie Auld was a great player who touched people's lives, and they have shown their sorrow over his passing.
Sorry Paul, I know you won't mind me interrupting you for that.
Not at all. Very true. I mean, Bertie Auld is part of the most important club team in Scottish football history. So that's another one of them gone. So, he needs to be paid respect to for as long as it takes. My point was, Gordon, regarding the game. Now, I heard when I was driving into the game, I was listening, he was talking about the thing that was on social media with the, I don't know what country it was, but with the guy diving when the referee patted him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if the Aberdeen players sat and watched that before they took the field today, but I think that's the most I have ever saw an Aberdeen team go down and roll about. So much so that I think two occasions I saw the plane ever stopped and the guy just got back up and started playing. But that, I get it, frustrate them, get the crowd, roll about, but that's the most I think I've ever seen an Aberdeen side do that.
I must admit, see, when we're in here, I feel like that's the type of thing you maybe don't notice, because you know, we're watching it, but we're sort of analysing things and we're talking at the same time. Paul was at the stadium. I couldn't say for sure. Did any of you guys notice anything untoward?
I mean, McGeoch went down, had to go off. Brown went down,
legitimate ones,
had to go off.
Ramirez, ball in the throat.
Yeah,
Hayes took one in the face that we seen in the replay.
Paul's talking about ones where guys got up and got on with it. I don't know.
I just wasn't conscious of that going on. Maybe, as you say, it's the difference between being in the stadium and being in a studio. But I was not conscious of that, I have to say.
Anything that caught your attention?
No, I'm with the boys there. I didn't look at Aberdeen and think, you know, they were going down and then just getting up. And sometimes, look, when you're away from home, you're playing against a team like Celtic, and you know, you do get tackled. Look, everybody does it. You take a little couple of extra seconds, you take your time, dust yourself down and got up. But you look at Celtic today, Aberdeen fans would probably be listening to us thinking, well, Kyogo was down. How many times was he down for Celtic today, you know? I didn't really notice it, Gordon, but as you said, there was somebody in the stadium today. They're watching the game, concentrating 100% on it. We're doing other things in here. But it wasn't something that I was sort of looking at and thinking, well, that's bad sportsmanship.
What did you think of Aberdeen's penalty award, Paul?
I'd need to see it again on the television. I think he played for it, but he can play for it and it'd be a penalty. I don't know. I didn't think it. I had a good view of it. I didn't think it was a howling mistake, but I would need to see it in the highlights to give a definitive opinion, but not really, Gary can play it.
That doesn't always even clear it up, Mark, because we have seen replays but only from one angle. So again, maybe we're inadvertently showing how tough it is for refs, because we've seen replays from only one angle. And we want more angles, basically.
Yeah, the
so
angle.
So you can understand the clamour for VAR.
Yeah, the angle we saw it from. You know, it's very difficult to determine how much contact there is. You can see Abada dangling his leg out. You can see, obviously, Bates going over it, but you can't obviously judge the level of contact. The only problem, I have is Abada just dangling that leg out. I always feel that you give people an opportunity and referees a decision to make when you do that. It looked minimal to me, but listen, Celtic dealt with it. They were put back by it for a few minutes, but they dealt with it. You know, disappointment. You have to get over situations like that in games
just
and rise
that,
above
just
it.
Quickly on that point, Gordon, we've only seen it from one angle, right? The first thing after I seen it, I looked at where the referee was. Kevin Clancy had a terrific view of that, so it was enough for him. Now, in my opinion, I don't think it was a penalty kick, right? But it was enough for him to think, yep, that's a penalty kick.
I mean, we've seen referees with some great views make some questionable decisions.
Yeah,
over the years,
a whistle
now too. That's the first time I think I've heard Daz going against it. Didn't think it was a penalty.
No, I didn't.
So you're saying Clancy was wrong?
Clancy, I don't think, is one of his mates. I
do agree. Abada put his leg, but I think he brought it back in, and I thought Bates was clever enough to see it. Listen, Aberdeen would be delighted with the fact they get the penalty and get back in the game. Me personally, I didn't think it was a penalty.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Let's hear from Stephen Glass, the Aberdeen boss.
Really disappointed that despite the amount of quality that Celtic showed, that it's a deflected goal that ends up costing us. I think you know the quality they've got before you come here. They showed it in an abundance, I would say. But the group of players stood up to it. We were difficult to play against. We did carry a threat, especially first half. And it's a deflection that ultimately cost us, which is the overriding disappointment. We felt like if we got past our first little bit of pressure, with a chance to get at their back players. So I think we showed that at times in the first half. I wouldn't say through choice we didn't show a second half. I think we had a lack of the ball, to be fair, with them keeping it and them threatening. Pleased with what the players gave us today, and I think more of the same the next couple of games will be fine. Within the game, it's disappointing we had to reshuffle when we didn't particularly want to. Choose a two-year midfield player, something to go off that limits how much he can change things higher up. So Dylan got a bang in his calf first half, felt it was tight enough that he had to come off, and Bruni was a little bit tight in his hamstring, so I think it was cramp. I don't know if it's just cramp or if it's a little injury, but we'll see. If there's any chance of playing, he'll be there, because you know what he's like. But I think if the players show the quality they did at times, the belief to do the right things at times, and a little bit more composure at the top end, I think we'll have more opportunities and probably have to defend a little bit less than we did today on Wednesday night.
I'm not sure losing 2-1 at Celtic Park is a tragedy, something that Aberdeen should be slaughtered for, Hugh Keevans.
No, no.
However, it is part of a run which has seen them win only 2 in 16.
Yeah.
And they've now lost 3 in a row. How concerned should Aberdeen fans be?
Very. They are 2 points above Dundee, who are second bottom. In other words, in the playoff place, Aberdeen are 2 points above them. They've lost 8 games, the same as Dundee. I just think it's very, very poor form. It's not even mediocre, it's worse than mediocre, because they're bottom six and they are cemented in the bottom six.
Any room for a bit of sympathy in terms of Scott Brown going off, Dylan McGeoch going off, already having injury problems?
I did see it when it happened, Gordon, to lose 2 year midfield players, especially the experience and the quality that they lost. I'm not agreeing with this manager at all. I don't want to pick on him.
On anything?
I thought he went with a game plan for a point, and they would get back. I thought they were better in the first couple of minutes. I thought they had a spell. Second half, they offered absolutely nothing. They were negative. If you're an Aberdeen fan,
he says,
though,
that's because they didn't have the ball.
Correct.
I mean, do we sometimes overlook that?
No. But even when they had the ball, he was using it. They don't have. See, if you've got the quality he thinks that you've got, you ain't sitting where Hughes just said, 2 points off Dundee. Their record is terrible. I just think he comes out with the same thing week in, week out. It's got to change. I do think he's got good players. I just don't think he plays them the right manner. That's the problem for me. I could be wrong. Aberdeen fans could come on here and say, no, we're delighted with the way the manager's going and what he's shown us. I think he just dressed that up like, yeah, it was a good performance, but Celtic just... And then at the end of saying, well, it was that sort of goal that lost us a game. Celtic dominated that game today for me.
It's a big week coming up, Hugh Keevans. I say that every weekend, but it's because I mean it. Not only do we usually have midweek Europa League, we've got big games domestically spread out across the week. A hugely important period coming up.
Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday will be fascinating. Rangers will go to Easter Road desperate for revenge for that cup final or cup semi-final defeat to Hibs. Then Celtic will have Hearts. Now, when Ange Postecoglou played Hearts at Tynecastle, he was just in the building. Some of the players were just in the building. Kyogo landed from Japan that morning and was on the bench. Celtic were in that kind of disarray, but now Celtic are second, Hearts are third. 1 point between them. Fascinating game Thursday night.
Huge week coming up, and this is the place to be to keep across it all. Tomorrow, the weekend review kicks off at 6 o'clock with Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray, and then it is on to a massive week of Scottish football. So make sure you join us then. We'll go over it all, see who's getting result of the weekend, goal of the weekend, who's dishing up the howlers. And up next, though, is the chart show. So you can stay right there. The chart show will entertain you, and we'll see you at 6 tomorrow.